And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Good evening, everybody. So good to be here tonight to share the Word of God with you. As most of you know, I'm not the regular speaker here. We don't have one. We're still looking for one. For our visitors, my name is George. As a matter of fact, as far as all the speakers here, I'm probably the least experienced. I'm not going to be very animated, but I won't apologize for that because I'm going to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing up here, and that's sharing God's Word. Thank you, Gary, for reading that scripture reading for us. I would like to go back there very briefly before we get into our lesson here tonight. It says in Luke chapter 12, at the very beginning, at verse 22, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on.'" At the very beginning of our scripture reading, it tells us that we're not to worry about our life. And at the very end, in verse 31, it tells us, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." So we're not to worry about our life. Instead, we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, and that should be our mission. If you guys remember, over the past couple of weeks, I've went up to just about everybody, I think, and asked you what your anxieties and your fears were. And the reason I did this is I wanted it to be on the forefront of your mind as we go through the scriptures here. I want you to remember some of the things that you go through and other people go through in your life. So it'll help you as we're going through the scripture, what we should be doing when we're going through those things. So the first thing, and probably the most common thing I noticed when asking all of you about your concerns, thing that came up the most was your family concerns, especially your kids and your grandkids' safety. Certainly we don't want to see them get harmed. Another thing we found very stressful was the daily care of our children. They don't know that they're stressing us out and that sometimes we have a bad day at work, but still, they sometimes try to test us and see what our limitations are, and that can be something that causes us anxiety through our day. Certainly, our kids staying faithful, that's something that we worry about sometimes, not being able to see them grow up as well. And some of us are concerned we're never even going to get to that point. We're never going to get married or have kids. It's something that we want to do, and it causes anxiety. One of you, I asked, what was one of the most stressful times of your life? And they said, getting married. The actual engagement process itself and all the things you got to do to get prepared, that certainly can be very stressful. So the whole marriage process and having kids pretty much can be something that can stress us out. Also, work and school came out. Certainly, there's days that we, as you can see from that picture, we feel like that. The work keeps coming. We tell the boss, I can't handle this anymore. And they say, don't care. Job needs to get done. And that can be very stressful. And also, tests come up. We know that if we don't pass those, we can end up back in the same grade or sometimes even fired from our job. The picture didn't show up. Well, there's a picture of a bunch of cars lined up in traffic, and certainly driving can sometimes be stressful. If somebody doesn't show up and they're late, one of the first things we think of is, they got into a car wreck. I hope they're still alive. And then we call them and blow up their cell phone. Are you still alive? Why aren't you here? Another one was my kids driving. That wasn't your mom. So she actually said on Facebook, everybody else watch out. Another thing that can cause us a lot of stress is flying. This is one of mine. I know there's others out there. And the reason why is because if they fail, what's going to happen? You're going to crash, possibly not going to live. This is number one or number two on just about every website you go to, top 10 fears. Another thing can stress us out, finances. Certainly, can we pay our bills? If we go in debt, can we get out? And for those who haven't got out of your parents' house, wanting to be able to do that, find a job, have insurance so you can do that. Society certainly can stress us out. Public speaking, it's another one of my big ones, so if I pass out up here, just come up here and pick me up and I'll press on. People in general and bad people. Ernest had a lesson just recently, and he spoke of this. There are certain people who just wake up and they want to give you a hard time and they want to see you fail. I actually worked with a guy and he knew which one of us claimed to be Christians, and he purposely came up to us every day and used the Lord's name in vain. And I told him not to stop it, and he wouldn't, so there's nothing I could do. But he wanted to do that because he wanted us to get mad, and he wanted us to cuss him out and back or get angry at him. And then he could say, ha ha, in your face, I knew it, you're just like me. So there are people in society that are out there, they're just trying to give us a bad time, stress us out. One of you teenagers said, socializing, I'm a teenager. Certainly very stressful time. You say the wrong thing, then that girl or guy that you liked suddenly doesn't like you, or you're labeled a loser. Or being alone forever, not being in control, another big one. When I first got here to South Carolina, and you in process into military, every base you go to has a in processing, in briefing, specifically for that area. And one of the things they really hit on in this area was nature and how we have sharks here and stingrays and ticks and just about everything. So snakes, mean dogs. If you ever had a mean dog chasing after you, it certainly will stress you out. Spiders. If you ever had a job where you have to get underneath the house and you see those guys crawling underneath there, you're probably not going to want to work that job anymore. Roaches, and probably my favorite, Sarek said locusts. I have to ask him why. Certainly, our health can stress us out. We've seen, even in our church here, that people got cancer and we've had all these health concerns as we get older, especially when we're younger. We see our body starting to ache, bones pop that usually don't, and we start to get a little worried about our health and working out, staying in shape, eating the right things. If you ever have to visit the doctor, especially if you're young, I know just about every parent has to go through this fear of needles and getting shots. No, this is miscellaneous things. If you see, this is the Sears Tower up on the left, and they pointed out on the 103rd floor. The reason for that is that, if you can see it, there's a girl laying on a glass window, and she's looking down on the whole city of Chicago. So one of the biggest fears was heights, going over bridges. I guess that can go along with flying on the airplane as well. Firing a gun can certainly be stressful, especially if you point it in the wrong direction. Clowns, I asked some of our children, and one of the big things that came up was the dark and monsters. At our house, Captain America, he guards our daughter's door. The monster dog protects the toy chest, and Mr. Shark protects her bed at night. As we're teaching her that no such thing, and even if there was, God's going to help us anyways. So these are the things that everybody here brought up, things that stress us out, give us anxiety, things that we fear. These aren't things that I picked up off the website. This is what you said. As a matter of fact, there was, out of all the things that you guys said, there was really only two or three that were very prominent that we did say that I saw on the websites. Moving was one, marital problems, I'm glad nobody said that, and death. So what can we do in our life when we have all these troubles and these anxieties, these fears that we come across in our life? And I would like to talk about that and lean on God's Word to help us when we come across these things. So one of the first things we need to do is understand His power and His wisdom. And that teaches us why we are here in the first place. If you would, turn with me to Job chapter 9, verses 4 through 12. That's Job 9, 4 through 12. It says, God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes the mountains and they do not know. When he overturns them in his anger, he shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. Excuse me. Might be a little too close. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, and he does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? So we go to, at the very beginning here, in verse 6, it says, he shakes the earth out of its place. In the next verse, he commands the sun. And in verse 9, he made the stars. If we have a God and a creator who has that kind of power, why wouldn't you want to go to him? Really, we should be able to stop right there when we have trouble and realize that we have a creator that has that kind of wisdom, that has put all these things in the first place and has that kind of strength. Also, if you would, turn with me to Jeremiah verse 12 of chapter 10. That's Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 10. It says, he has made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens at his discretion. We have a powerful God. Certainly, we have a wise God. There's none like him. And any time we're going through stressful times, we need to understand that his power and his wisdom is above anything that we can imagine. Another thing that we need to realize is that nothing is too hard for the Lord. If you would turn with me to chapter 32, verse 27 of Jeremiah. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He asks us a question. Is there anything too hard for me? And that's a rhetorical question, because there is nothing too hard for God. Also, if you would, go with me to Matthew 19, verse 26. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Anything is possible for the Lord if he intends for it to happen. We also need to realize that he is in control of our situation, whatever that is, if it's a stressful situation or even if it's a good situation we're in. if you would, go with me to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. It's Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. It says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" When I'm flying on a plane, I probably pray more than any other part of my life. And I like to remember this, even though he's not physically there with me on that plane, he is there with me spiritually. And if he intends for that plane to crash or for me to land safely, either way, he's in control of the situation. And we need to realize that. And we need to be able to go to him and understand that when we're going through these stressful events in our life, that he's able to get us through that as well. Another thing we need to do when going through stressful times is fear God. You're probably asking, well, how does that relate? It keeps us wise in hard times. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're going to be wise, the first thing you need to do is fear God and respect him and do the things that he's told us to do. And if you're not, it tells us that you are a fool if you despise his wisdom and instruction. We also need to fear God because it gives us strength through his wisdom. If you would, go with me still in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 13 through 14. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength." If we are fearing or respecting God and doing what he's told us to do, we have strength. We have his strength. He's behind us and he's helping us out. Also, fearing God gives us a good perspective when we're dealing with those difficult people, those difficult times that we have in our life. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We are come up against people who like to give us a hard time, or even those possibly in other countries that want to put us to death for serving God. We need to remember that they can certainly kill us physically, but they cannot take us away eternally. Only God can do that. So there's some hope in that, even though you might suffer in this life. It's such a short life, as we learned this morning, and it's not worth respecting men who don't respect God. Also, fearing God keeps us from coming up short of the ultimate prize. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." If we are fearing God, respecting him, certainly keeping his commandments, when we die in this lifetime, we'll be able to be with him and have that ultimate prize someday. Also, fearing God keeps us from future harm, sometimes even in this lifetime. If you would, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Could you imagine if Noah did not respect or fear God and he just said, "Ah, here's the flood coming. God said there is, but I don't really fear him, so we'll see what happens. Or sometimes in this life you'll hear people say things like, oh, well, he loves me, and he doesn't wish for me to perish, so I'm going to go out and do whatever I want to, and God loves me, so you know he's going to allow me to live forever with him. Another thing that we need to do is trust God for the same reason. It saves us from future harm. If we think, again, of Noah and Abraham, if they did not trust God, they did not believe in his promises, they wouldn't have done them, and it would cause them great harm in their life. Trusting God also gives us the courage to do the things we need to do, even during stressful times. If you would turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. This is David speaking to Solomon. It says, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David learned to trust God. He knew that he would back up his promises, and he was teaching his son to do that. He was teaching him to have great courage to do that, even through hard times. And we know that Solomon went through some hard times. Trusting God also will put us on the right pathway. If you would, go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, for fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So we're told that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we're not to lean on our own knowledge. We need to be looking at his word, seeing what it tells us to do, and trusting that when God tells us something's going to happen, or that we need to do something that he's told us to do, that we need to do it. It also keeps us from being foolish in our life. In Proverbs chapter 28, verses 25 to 26, it tells us this. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prosperous. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So again, we need to be trusting in God. It keeps us from being foolish and doing foolish things. Also, it will deliver us from death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it tells us, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. We trust in God and do what he tells us. He's going to deliver us from that second death. Also, when going through stressful times, we have anxiety, we definitely need to remember that God is here to help us. He's not here to get in our way. Especially when we go to him through prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It tells us that we should be anxious for nothing. We're not to worry about anything. And then if we have any troubles, we can certainly go to God through prayer, and he's going to hear us, and through his will, he's going to grant us. Also, we to remember that God wants to help us by supplying all of our needs. He's not going to give us just some of the things we need. He's going to give us everything we need to live this life according to his will. teaches us this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches, he's going to give us, supply us all of our needs. God also wants to help us by casting all of our cares on him. This ties along with going to him in prayer. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says some of your cares or part of your cares. It says to cast all your cares for him, on him. And then it ends it with saying, he cares for you. He cares for us. Also in Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Also, we need to remember God wants to help us find mercy in times of need, times of trouble. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, well, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the Savior that came here and went through the same things that we go through. You have, certainly, if you know anything about Christ, he had a great life of turmoil. People did not like him, and it was very stressful, or could have been very stressful for him if he did not go to God. We need to remember that. We have a Savior who's went through the same things we have. We go to him in prayer. He knows what we've went through. And certainly he'll be able to know how to get us out of troubled situations. Also, God wants us to eventually find rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If we are doing what God has told us to do, we will find rest. There's some other things that we need to remember too when we're going through stressful times. And one of those is that we have hope in Christ. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. We have hope in Christ. He's going to come and receive us someday, and we need to be prepared for that. Also, in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also have glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. When we go through tribulations, when we go through hard times, there's a purpose. It builds character, it builds perseverance, and it should lead us to understand that we have hope in Christ. And also in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, said, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Another thing we need to remember when we are going through our hardships, our hard times, we need to remember that we're not to be bitter. We need to always be rejoicing. It tells us this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It tells us to rejoice always. Not rejoice always except when you're going through hard times, except when you're stressed out, except when you're going through any of those things that we had listed before. We should always be rejoicing because we know that we have hope in Christ and that someday we'll be with God. Also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. We need to be very careful that there's no root of bitterness springing up in any of us. And if there is, we need to help those people and pray for them. We also need to remember in troubled times that we can go to the church and ask for help. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we're going through hard times, we need to remember that we have brothers and sisters who can help us out in that situation. And we, as brothers and sisters, should know our family and spot that and be going to them in the first place. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We need to be comforting one another and edifying each other. That way, when we do come across these troubled times, it won't be so bad. So what should really stress us out? I asked everybody what stresses you out, and a couple of you said this. Disobeying God, that stresses me out. When I fall short and I know it, that really gets to me, and I know I'm in a bad state. And the reason for that is because if I don't repent, that's where I'm going, to an everlasting punishment. It says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. But that's something that doesn't need to stress us out. If we're doing what God tells us, then that shouldn't stress us out. We'll be in a good state, and we don't have to worry about that. Now, I know there are many of you, not speaking to the audience here, but out in the world, there are many people that do not obey God, and they don't realize it, but they should be very, very stressed out about that. If you're one of those people, we encourage you to come. We also encourage you to come if you are a Christian, and you have come across stressful times, and you disobeyed and need prayer. We also encourage you to come if you're a Christian and you need help. If you would still need more information and you would like to obey God, but you're not sure, please come to us and speak to us on the matter so we can help you out. We encourage